shepherdassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here in beautiful Brevard County for a Tuesday. Pray that all is going well with you. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you right here on 91.5 FM talking about the Word of God. And if you do not have a church home, let me invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. And in fact, I would like to ask this question. What would get you to come to Merit Assembly of God? I've been doing this for almost 10 years now, 10 years in a little over, I think it's about 5 or 6 weeks. What would it take to get you to come to Merit Assembly of God? I'm not going to, change the message that I preach. I literally asked my daughter this one time. I said, you've gone off to Bible college. You're seeing all sorts of different churches over there. What would it take to get Merit Assembly of God to grow beyond what it was? And she told me the answer, and she said, Dad, you would never do what they're doing over there. You'd never do it. Not because I wouldn't do it for church growth. I just am not going to water anything down or dilute it. Not saying that every church does, but there are a lot of churches that are not necessarily preaching things that I would be preaching. So I just would like to invite you out, and if you're looking for a place to serve, Merit Assembly of God is one of those places where you can serve. We actually have increased our membership during the last couple of years in spite of COVID and a number of people, choosing not to attend live services. We've actually increased our membership in spite of a number of dear, precious saints that have been promoted into eternity. But we believe that there's a lot more that we could do. And in order for that to take place, the table of involvement has got to increase. And so we would like to invite you out and pray about Merit Assembly of God being your church home if you do not have a church home. So today we are going back to Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter, verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it's he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And we're going to stop right there at that particular point. So today we are going to be looking at this particular passage in Acts chapter 10, where it says that the word which Cornelius and his friends and his family already knew was that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that he came to establish peace through that. And it says in verse number 38, the word that we preach is that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, there are two or three aspects of anointing that I want to share with you. Anointing was where they would take olive oil, which was representative of the Holy Spirit. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they would not just put a little on their finger and do a little dab of little dab will do you. They would take oil and they would pour it on the head. If you look in the book of Psalms, let me see if I can get back there real quick. It gives you just a little bit of a picture of what anointing was like. I did a message on the ingredients of the anointing oil years and years ago, and wow, it was a great study. But it says here in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron." Aaron was Moses' brother, the high priest, running down on the edge of his garments. "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So when they anointed with oil, it wasn't just a little mark on the forehead. They would pour it down their head. Now, I'm here to tell you that you want to make sure that that goes away from your face, not down your face. Some of the ingredients of the anointing oil, which was not supposed to be duplicated by a perfume maker, it was specifically for the purpose of anointing. It was used for anointing people for a particular office. So Aaron, here in Psalm 133, it's talking about the oil that was poured upon Aaron's head and down on his garments and all of that. He was the high priest. There was an anointing for the office of priest. David was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. Again, he was anointed for the office. And that anointing, well, when it was a high priest, it was kind of the installation. It was the launching pad. When David was anointed king, it was still going to be years away. It was still going to be battles away, decades away, before David would ascend to the throne. There were a lot of temptations that he had to successfully deal with in between the anointing and the installation as king. But the reason that those people were placed in those offices was that the anointing was there to serve both God and people. The king was there as a representative of what God had instilled in place, and they were there as servants of the people. The high priest was there, and he did work before God, and he did work on behalf of the people. He was a mediator. And so it was not only a ritual for the office, but it was designed to establish the service that person would do. It wasn't just something designed for Israel. Elijah had been given the instructions to anoint a foreign king to be king in a different country, and he did not get to do that. He died. Elisha, his servant, ended up sending a messenger of his to go and anoint him. So there are people that are anointed for different offices, whether it's a prophet, a priest, or a king. Please understand, it's not so that you have a merit badge. The anointing is there to serve. And so here's what Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? He was anointed by God. He was anointed by God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. In Psalm 133, it talks about the oil, but before that, it talks about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon. And so that anointing had a residual effect. It stayed. The clothing was forever altered. It was aromatic. It was going to change the atmosphere. Okay. Now, David was one of the few kings that took the anointing and waited patiently for the installation. I told you Elisha completed Elijah's task of anointing a foreign king, and upon that anointing service, that person he had just been anointed went back to his country and almost immediately killed the king that was in place. You can see that there were a lot of people, another person that was anointed after that encounter with God that Elijah had on Mount Carmel was Jehu. Jehu was anointed to sit on the throne of Israel. And he immediately gathers his troops and bam, goes off and wipes out all of the house of Ahab and Jezebel and their relatives. It was a brutal, brutal day. I'm not saying that Ahab and Jezebel ever responded favorably to God, except for that one time for Ahab, but it didn't stick, and he reverted right back. The word of the Lord came to pass in that situation. But Jehu wasn't waiting. David said, I'm not going to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. When Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle by the Philistines, there was an Amalekite that came along and found them dead, and he reported to David. David said, where'd you get the throne and or the crown? And he said, look, I came upon Saul, and he was almost dead, but he wasn't completely dead. And he said, strike me down so that I don't want to be defeated by the Philistines and stuff like that. And David said, weren't you terrified to put your hand on God's anointed? If I can tell you this, the Bible talks about touch not my anointed ones. That's not just talking about the high priest. That's not just talking about the king or the prophet. It's not just talking about the pastor. It's talking about the people of God. Did you know that as a child of the living God, there is an anointing that you are supposed to walk in? That doesn't mean that you are supposed to become arrogant. It doesn't mean that you set the time frame. It doesn't mean that you go out and wipe out all of your enemies. But it does mean that you live in such a way that you are living under the mandated protection of God, where anybody that rises up against you, he says, don't touch them. Those are mine. I've anointed them for the purpose that I created them for. If he did that for Jesus, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, he does that for you as well. So I pray that you walk in the anointing that God has for you. For Jesus, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Okay? And so I believe that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is still in operation, whether it is the dunamis power of God that has the ability to pull down strongholds. And, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. That's dunamis. You're going to receive the ability to do things that you could not have done on your own. Dunamis is the word, the Greek word from which the professor Nobel invented the word dynamite. So it is the ability to take an immovable force, and God says, it'll move because I can make it move. Okay. So that's what's going on. You and I, we need to operate not just with the giftings that come from our physical abilities, not just with the anointings that come from our intellectual or financial capacity, but because we have the Holy Spirit in operation in our life, and He gives us the power to make that happen. Another word that is often translated power would better be translated authority. I mention these because Jesus does both. He has the power to make things happen. He has the authority to make things happen. And God had anointed him to go throughout the entire region. And it says, because of the anointing, because of the timing, because of the placement, because of the delight to do the will of God that existed in Jesus, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. Now, in today's society, you can become infamous for doing evil. You can get all sorts of notoriety for doing the wrong thing. I was in youth ministry for a long time. Young people tend to be under the delusion at times that any attention is good attention, and that's not the case at all. You want to have attention for doing the right thing. Much of what goes on in today's world could be boiled down to this statement: look at me. Would someone please notice me? Would someone please pay attention to me? No, if I have to do something to my appearance before you notice me, I'll do it. Would somebody just please pay attention to what's going on in my life? So much of the busyness of life causes us to overlook the people that are around us. And so whether it's hairstyles or clothing styles or other things, if they can't get it through their physical appearance, they will try and get it through their behavior, whether it's academic excellence or academic inadequacies, whether it is through physical skills or through physical disobedience on a social scale. It all tends to come down to this: would someone please look at me? The message of this radio program is not even look at Merit Assembly of God, definitely not look at Pastor Bob, but look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the one that notices you exponentially more than what anybody else. Who else do you know that knows the number of hairs on your head? Who else is there who notices the tears that you cry on your pillow? Who else do you know that hears the prayers that you pray when your lips are moving but no words are coming out? He knows the thoughts that you think. And like a supercomputer's chess program, he knows everything that you're going to do before you even do it. Now, he wants you to do what his plan, his will calls for, but he knows what's going on in your heart. He pays attention to you. Now, I will tell you, the devil does not reciprocate that. The devil, if you are operating in his kingdom, he doesn't pay attention to you, doesn't really care about you. And I can prove that from Scripture. I believe it's in the 19th chapter of Acts that there's some brothers that they're known as the sons of Sceva, S-C-E-V-A. And they encounter a person that the Bible says was a demon-possessed person. And they go out and they decide that they are going to do something that they had heard and seen in Paul's ministry. And so they go out and they encounter this demon-possessed person, and they said, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out." And the demon says this, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Who are you?" And at that point in time, he proceeded to abuse people who weren't walking in a saved relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to function in a spiritual atmosphere that they were not equipped spiritually to operate in, and it led to a humiliating defeat in their part, but it led to kingdom growth because everybody was like, "Whoa, I think there's more to this than just going out and using the same words, just repeating the same lines that we've heard." And so Jesus was anointed, and he wasn't just anointed with the title. He wasn't just enamored with the position, but it said he went about doing good. Merit Assembly of God, our mission statement is very simple. It is be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. But we've condensed it to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our families. We want to be a blessing to our church. We want to be a blessing to our community. And we want to be a blessing to the world. We want to be a blessing spiritually. We want to be a blessing emotionally. We want to be a blessing financially. We want to be a blessing in every way that we can, because we want to do things that are going to bring glory and honor to God. Jesus went about doing good. We should be going about doing good. And it says that he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I don't have any problem believing that demonic activity still takes place. Now, I know some people that look for demons under every rock. I can tell you this, from personal experience, I don't have to go looking for demons. God will either order my steps and direct my path, and when I cross paths with them, then they're going to find out that they're going to leave defeated. I remember a friend of mine, he said, every time demons manifested in the presence of Jesus, the demons left defeated. I believe that you and I should have that same legacy in operation in our life. So I don't live in fear of the devil. I don't live in fear of demonic activity. When it shows up in my life, I just say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. God's rebuke is way more powerful than my rebuke. And not interested in demons' names, not interested in what they have to say, not interested if they're going to try and intimidate me or any of that sort of stuff. Just shut up and be gone. Maybe I'm not supposed to say shut up on the radio, but I just did. I don't want to give the devil a voice in my life. So he went about, and here the word is healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. You might not be possessed by the devil, but the devil would love to oppress you. The devil would love to put obstacles in your life, distractions in your life, pressures in your life, things that would keep you from doing good. He would love to distract you from the purpose that God created you for. I don't know why he takes pleasure in that, but he does. Misery loves company, I guess. But here the word is healing. And I will tell you that Jesus is the healer. He is ruler over every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness in this age. He's the king. End of story. And so you and I, can see that the ministry of Jesus was bringing the king and the kingdom back to his people who were being oppressed in captivity, not just by the Romans, but they were being oppressed by the devil. And he says, the reason that God could do this was because God was with him. It's a Tuesday. I'd like to encourage you, whatever you do, make sure that when you go someplace, God's going with you, not as a silent partner, but he's the one that's in charge of the navigation. He's in charge of the throttle. He's in charge of every area of your life. Because apart from him, I can't do anything. Apart from him, you can't do anything. But with him, all things are possible. Jesus boiled down his ministry to these very simple statements. He said, the things that I see my Father doing, those are the things that I do. And he said, and the things that I hear my Father speaking, those are the things that I proclaim. So in order for him to see and in order for him to hear, he knew that he was not alone. Today you may be feeling isolated and alone. You may feel defeated and in a hopeless situation, but I will tell you that for a believer that is walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. You are never alone because he said he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. And so as he is walking with you, I pray that your mindset would not be wishful thinking that something good would happen, but that there would be a confident expectation that the kingdom of God is going to advance in and through your life because you, just like Jesus, are anointed to go about doing good and bringing victory over demonic forces. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my